The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
The book of Micah, Micah 6, finds the people saying, "Can I offer the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Shall I pass my children through the fires of Molech like Manasseh, the evil ruler, did?" No, he said, "Here is what you must do. He has showed the old man what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." But at the end of Micah chapter 7, we have the most beautiful verse of all. God said, "I will cast their sins into the depths of the sea." God doesn't want to remember sin. He wants to forever forget it. "Repent and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out." Acts 3:19. "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Hebrews 8:12 and 13. He will cast sins into the depths of the sea, but they have to be covered by the blood of Christ. Matthew 26:28. "Blessed is the man whose sin is covered." Psalm 32:1. In Nahum 1:3, though we read in verse 7, "He is slow to wrath and merciful to the righteous," Nahum 1:3 says, "God will in no wise clear the guilty." And in an age when only the criminals seem to have any rights anymore, it is refreshing to read in the Bible, "God will in no wise clear the guilty." The justice of God must meet its demands. We read of His mercy, His grace, His love, His peace, but the Bible also speaks of the wrath of God and the justice of God. And God is not a man that He should lie. Numbers 23:19. And when God says the wicked shall be punished, the wicked shall be punished. He will in no wise clear the guilty. There is still a place called hell, and we can't rip that out of the Bible any more than we can take heaven out of the Bible. "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Matthew 25:41-46. The book of Habakkuk has the statement in it, "The knowledge of God shall cover the world as the waters cover the sea." It also tells us the just shall live by faith, that men had sinned against their own soul. But then the most fascinating verse is Habakkuk 2:20. "Jehovah is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him." We need to be quiet and let God talk to us. We need not to bow down to the shrines of idolatry, the vivid imaginations of our wicked hearts. We need to be quiet and let God, through His Word, speak to us and direct our paths. And that's what reverential awe will do. We need to let God do the talking. Jehovah's in His holy temple. Psalm 11:4 says His holy temple is the heavens itself. And we need to bow in submission to what He teaches and never argue with Him. Zephaniah 1:18 tells us, "Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of God's wrath." A day of wrath, of mourning, of doom. The day of the Lord, the judgment of God upon nations and individuals. And ultimately the final judgment day, Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15, shall befall man. And our silver and gold, our idols, our materialism will not deliver us in the day of God's wrath. Riches profit not in the day of God's wrath, Proverbs 11:4. In Haggai 1:6 we read that when we earn wages to build up treasures on earth, when we turn our back upon God, we put our wealth in a bag full of holes. Nothing is there. Thus we need to consider our ways, turn again to God, and from the moment we do and maintain that pace, God says, "I will bless you." The book of Haggai tells of the rebuilding of the temple that had been gutted by fire. Read 2 Kings 25:9. And how instead of using this wood paneling to restructure the temple that had been depleted and burned, they used that material selfishly for their own luxuriously finished paneled houses. They did not put God first, Matthew 6:33, and thus they were not blessed. The book of Zechariah, Zechariah 13:1 says, "A fountain for cleansing and for sin would be opened outside Jerusalem." It also tells us of the triumphal entry of Jesus, Zechariah chapter 9, which was fulfilled in Mark 11, when they strode palm branches in the wake of Christ, said Hosanna in the language of Psalm 118, meaning save us, we pray. They meant save us from the dreaded Romans, deliver us from the captivity of these evil men, instead of deliver us from our sins. And when Jesus let it be known he couldn't care less who ruled in a temporal way, he'd come to deliver them from sin and usher them into the kingdom of God's dear Son, they hate him even more because theirs was a temporal hope of an earthly rule that would give them physical, carnal benefits. Zechariah predicts the death of our Lord, the piercing of his hands, his crucifixion. It also tells of the one who would cast the 30 pieces of silver down, Judas. It is truly history written before it happened. And it tells us it is not by our might, our strength, our power, but by the power of God we stand, Zechariah 4. And then the book of Malachi. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. How, they ask, have we robbed thee? By not giving to me what you should and what you purposed and what I command. As 2 Kings 12:4 says, they did not give anything out of a heart of love. He said, until you do, I cannot open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you will not even be able to receive. In the book of Malachi, we read of people who had not obeyed God, who had been delivered from bondage, and 100 years later were just as despicable and wicked and indifferent as they had been before they went into captivity. The human nature of mankind does not change. God continued to extend his love. He said, write your name in my book of remembrance. You'll be in the crown of jewels that I make up for glory. But if you fail to, you'll be tread upon in doom as those who have oppressed the righteous and have not done God's will. But he says, one will come in the power and spirit of Elijah to pave the way for the Lord, and suddenly the Lord will come to his temple. And Malachi, which means the messenger of God, tells us of John the Immerser, who would bring the brilliant message, Christ is coming, in fulfillment to all that the prophet said. Let us now just briefly sum up the Old Testament. Christ is coming, born of a virgin, Genesis 3:15. From Abraham's seed, Genesis 22:18. From the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49:10. And it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, Hebrews 7:14. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Revelation 5:5. But Abraham's seed was in captivity, in bondage. God delivered them through Moses. Go down to Egypt and let my people go. They were led out into the wilderness, headed toward the promised land, but because of sin, they wandered in circles for 40 years. And then finally, Joshua led them into the promised land of Canaan. Later, in the period of the judges and the period of the kings, they declined and went back into Babylonian captivity. God delivered them by the message of the prophets and their own penitence. And as the Old Testament closes, Esther and Mordecai saved them from annihilation at the hands of the Persians. Daniel and his friends defeat the overwhelming thrust of the Babylonians. And at the end of the Old Testament, the prophets say again, Christ is coming. And that's the message of the Old Testament. The message...